Siksha Guru. Anyone other than Mataji?
One who teaches.
One who teaches. The guru who teaches. Diksha Guru.
One
who gives initiation. Chaitya Guru.
Guru of the heart.
Yes, the guru within the heart, the Supreme Personality of God, also known as Antaryami. So, there are four different gurus. Chaitya Guru is Krishna within the heart. Gives inspiration from within. You know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says such in the 10th chapter. Tesham ivana kampanam aham gyana jantama nashayam natva bhavastu gyana dipena bhaslita. I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Krishna does that as Chaitya Guru within the heart of the living entity. The other guru is Diksha Guru. That is a guru that gives initiation into a spiritual process. That's also the guru who takes full and total responsibility for our spiritual life, full and total responsibility for our spiritual maturity, and full and total responsibility that we may achieve liberation. That's the Diksha Guru. Shiksha Guru is the spiritual master, the teacher who teaches, one who gives instruction. You know, in the Bhagavatam, there's the example of many different types of gurus. We can learn something from anyone with whom we come in contact. Anyone in this room can offer me valid spiritual instruction to the best of their maturity, knowledge, and so on. However, the Shiksha Guru does not take direct and complete response, not complete, but direct responsibility for the living entity or the disciples going back to God, or the disciples achieving spiritual liberation. The Shiksha Guru does not take that responsibility. The Kul Guru is similar to the Shiksha Guru in that the Kul Guru, as Mataji mentioned, he is the guru. Generally in Vedic society, a family had a spiritual master for that particular family. So say, for example, the Kul Guru of my family would be, for example, Jayapataka Maharaj. My mother, my sister, I myself, my children, my grandchildren, so on and so forth, would, as long as Guru Maharaj is alive, would take instruction and shelter from the Kul Guru. So it's the guru that initiates, or takes care of, instructs all the members of a particular family. I don't want to get so much into the discussion of the different types of guru. What I want to get into a discussion of is the importance of spiritual master. And I want to look at it on two levels. One is the importance of the spiritual master that gives us initiation, diksha. That's the one level. The next level is the spiritual master acting as shiksha gives us instruction. The equivalent would be a mentor in English. It's the closest we'll come to a shiksha guru in modern understanding, is a mentor. But speaking about the diksha guru, the spiritual master that gives us initiation and takes responsibility for our spiritual life, that is the choice in making the choice of which diksha guru whom we're going to dedicate our devotional service to, whom we're going to pledge our committed devotional activities to. That choice is a choice that should not be taken lightly. When I was young and younger, and I came to a point in my life where it was time for me to begin to take my spiritual life more seriously, and my teachers were telling me, "Oh, Vishnu, you're getting too old to be running around playing in the mud. It's time for you to get serious about your devotional life." So when I finally decided that, yes, it's time for me to buckle down and start thinking serious about my spiritual life, I was 16 at the time. And I went to my teacher in Gurukul, Maharaj, and I asked him, I said, "Maharaj, I'm ready, I want to take initiation." And he says, "Okay, have you given any thought to whom you would like to take diksha initiation from?" My mother missed initiation by Prabhupada with about 2 months. So she was initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj in Chicago in the late 70s. So my mother had always wanted me to take initiation from Jayapataka Maharaj. Fair enough, understandable. However, Jayapataka Maharaj, I had the blessings and the good fortune of growing up in India, where Jayapataka Maharaj spent a lot of his time. And Jayapataka Maharaj was kind of like the father, if you will, of the Gurukul boys in the school in which I grew up. So we had a wonderful relationship with him that was less guru-disciple and more uncle and nephew kind of relationship. So for me, taking initiation with Jayapataka Maharaj was unsuitable for me. I began to take inspiration from Jagadish Maharaj at the time. And Guru Kumaraj, he asked me, "Why are you interested in taking initiation from Jagadish Maharaj?" Jagadish Maharaj at the time, he was ISKCON's Minister of Education, so he was in charge of all of education throughout ISKCON worldwide. He had known me since I was 5 years old, running around different gurukulas around the United States and in India. So I was, "Oh, I've known Jagadish Maharaj for so many years, and I like him, I think he's nice. And at the time, I was in line to be trained up as a teacher upon graduation. And I was really interested in teaching and taking care of younger students. So, and I took a lot of inspiration from Jagadish Maharaj, who was a teacher. So Guru Kumar says, well, what if you take initiation from Jagadish Maharaj and he asks you to go back to the United States and take up book distribution? I am not a book distributor by inclination. Book distribution is not something that I do very well. It's not something that speaks to me. It's something that I always did from a supportive role rather than a out front role. And he says, if your spiritual master asks you to do that, would you do it? I hesitate. Looking back now, I know that I would not, that my desire to take initiation from Jagadish Maharaj was simple because he knew me, I knew him, and I was safe in that he would not ask me to do something that I did not want to do. That was my, looking back now, knowing that was my reasoning. It was a safe choice, the choice of taking initiation from Jagadish Maharaj. It was safe. He knew me well enough to know that I was not going to be a very good book distributor. He knew me well enough to know that I was very good at taking care of children and teaching and so on. It was a safe choice. It turned out to be the right choice, but not because of my maturity in Krishna consciousness. The choice of a Diksha Guru should be simply to, the purpose of a Diksha Guru is simply to ensure that we go back home, back to Godhead. The Diksha Guru's main goal is to make sure that we go back home, back to Godhead. So the Diksha Guru, he or she will not give us any advice, any instruction that will hamper our development in Krishna consciousness, in spirituality. Everything the Guru tells us is going to be for our spiritual advancement, for our spiritual instruction. Every answer the Diksha Guru gives is going to be based on whether or not it will bring us closer to Krishna, whether or not it will increase our spiritual maturity, further our spiritual development. That is the purpose of the Diksha Guru. Now, speaking for myself, knowing in my own life, I took the safe choice. We don't often like to be told what to do, right? We want to have some measure of freedom, especially in the modern context. We want to be able to do our own thing, choose what we want to do. We don't want to be told what to do. We want that independent streak in the modern context. So we're not ready, we're not always ready to choose a Diksha Guru. However, we still need spiritual instruction. We need guidance in any sphere of life, be it business, we have mentors in our careers, in our education, we have senior students, teachers' assistants who can help us, mentor us in our education. In sports, we have coaches, those who can help us in our development in a particular athletic discipline. In every facet of life, we benefit from having mentors, coaches, guides. It is imperative that we have such in our spiritual life. This is pre-Diksha Guru. This is a Shiksha Guru, maybe even a Kul Guru, for those of you who come from India and are familiar with the concept. A person who is a mentor, a person to whom we can go and ask for input in our spiritual life. And not just in our spiritual life, but for those of us who are on a spiritual path, a mentor who can guide us in our non-spiritual activities, but with a spiritual understanding. Rachel goes to MIT. She's in chemistry for her master's. I'm picking on you because you have a friend relationship, so forgive me. A mentor for her would be someone who recognizes, understands, is spiritually mature, and recognize that this is, however, her path at this point in time, pursuing and getting her master's in chemical engineering. So it needs to be someone who understands her path, at the same time can help her advance and mature spiritually as well. Both have to be there. That's the nature of a mentor. Myself, I'm involved in temple administration. A mentor for me would be someone who has managerial acumen, managerial skills and abilities, but also recognizes what it takes to run a temple and the difficulties temple managers have in balancing managerial tasks and their personal spiritual life. So a mentor would have both those abilities for me, because that's what I'm doing. In our spiritual life, when we're not ready for a Diksha Guru, it is very, very important that we have spiritual mentors. Spiritual mentors are unlike the Diksha Guru, where we pledge at initiation to follow all of the instructions of the Guru. We commit to ourselves and to the Guru and to Krishna that we will follow all the instructions of the Diksha Guru. When we are not ready for that, if we're not ready for that, we can still have a Shiksha Guru, a spiritual mentor. It is actually necessary that we have that. I'm speaking on this because I'm going through this conundrum myself. My Diksha Guru is no longer present. I require a lot of input, a lot of spiritual input, both in my service and for developing myself spiritually, making sure I'm maturing properly. Such a spiritual mentor, such a Shiksha Guru, should be not chosen based on, well, we like this particular person. It should not, of course, that should be there, but it should not be solely based on someone we like. It should be based on someone whom we respect. Someone whom not just... Many times we have a question in life and we go and get the opinions of 10 different people. And we generally, we have an idea of what we want and we keep asking for opinions until we ask the person who confirms what we've already in our heart already chosen. We're looking for someone else to confirm it for us. The Shiksha Guru is not someone who gives us opinions. Not a person, let me rephrase it, not a person to whom we go just to get another opinion. A Shiksha Guru is a person whom we respect to such an extent that we're seeking guidance that will influence our decision. It has to be a person whom we respect, a person whom we look up to, a person whom we would truly endeavor or want to follow in their footsteps. Not just a person's opinion that we would like to get so they can confirm something that we want to do anyway. That is a particular qualification, if you will, or the way we should choose a criterion we should have when thinking of choosing a spiritual mentor. Am I willing to follow this particular person down this path to a particular extent, whatever that may be, in this field, in going to school for my master's, in my managerial services? The person I would choose, and the thing is, we can have multiple mentors. The person I would choose to mentor me in managing a temple is not the same person I would choose to mentor me in my relationships. We should cultivate and develop fine devotees, personalities, from whom we can receive mentorship. Persons who are willing to give that, offer us their input. Persons who are available to us. If they're not available, what kind of mentoring can go on? Available means by, thank God for the 21st century, is email and phone and all kinds of different things. We don't have to take a bullock cart to the nearest town to be in contact with someone. I find that one of the greatest challenges in devotional life is I find that disciples, we do not take enough instructions, we do not go to our spiritual masters as often as we should for spiritual guidance, for inspiration, and for motivation. And it's very, for me, it's very, very, I look at devotees who have spiritual masters who are present, and I envy them. Now, what's interesting is that when my spiritual master was present, I never contacted as much as I should have. Right? It's kind of like when it's not there, then you miss it, when it's unavailable. We should really take, we have so many wonderful devotees in the family of Krishna consciousness. We should make it a point of, while we are considering Diksha initiation, which is a very, very serious commitment, beforehand, we should really work towards developing mentor-mentee relationships in our spiritual life for the many different facets of our lives, in our career, in our relationships, in our other, whatever activities in which we need some spiritual guidance, how to balance our spiritual life with these other aspects of our life. It's very important. I've come to realize over the last couple years how critically important it is to have that person, persons whom we can go to for spiritual inspiration, persons whom we respect and would like to follow in their footsteps. That's the difference between a mentor and someone whom we're just asking their opinion. I'm not talking about a teacher where from whom we just receive knowledge and we may or may not use it, or it's interesting knowledge, the person has some information and we get some information. It's more than that. A mentor is someone whom we would like to follow, of someone who's, they embody certain skills, abilities, maturity, development that we would like to have in ourselves and develop relationships with such persons and communicate with such persons. Share our problems, our issues, our shortcomings with such people. I will finish here. If there are any questions, we can have some discussions. But just to drive the point home, before I was involved, several years ago, before I moved back to the Boston Temple, I used to be a personal coach. And there's many, many different types of personal coaches out there now. Mostly they're for professional careers. And you get a personal coach to help you in career advancement. That's about 70% of personal coaches out there now do that kind of thing. I was doing it on the spiritual side. Spiritual personal coaching. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, very fulfilling service for me. When I moved back into the Boston Temple, I could not do that because of other services. Some of the people, and this is why this particular topic has come up today, because this morning I received an email from a person I'd coached a year and a half ago. And it's really, it's not, I'm not saying this to try to glorify myself, but I'm saying this to, it made me realize that I need coaching from reading her letter. Because she was mentioning how much having, and it's not that, it's not about my personal ability. It's about the necessity that we need, the necessity we have for getting input from those whom we would like to follow, from those whom we appreciate and respect, get a different opinion, a different understanding, from those who've experienced more. I was a spiritual life coach, just people came to me for spiritual input to their lives and a spiritual take on things in their lives. In the letter, it was very, very reaffirmed what I had, in a way, forgotten for myself. The necessity of having someone that you can go to and say, I'm having this problem, I'm having this, how would I deal with this, how do I... And the process of it is simply, it's almost more of a discussion than advice.
You get into a discussion, but because there is trust, because there's respect, because there's a deep, genuine relationship and an appreciation for the mentor and a strong relationship, you're able to open up, you're able to be somewhat vulnerable in that relationship and receive inspiration, motivation, and oftentimes come to understandings and conclusions yourself. Sometimes all we need is to speak freely and openly with another person to get the understanding that we require. So I strongly, very, very strongly recommend that find spiritual mentors. If you're already on the path where you're aspiring from a spiritual master, cultivate that relationship where you are constantly, not in a pestering, cultivate the habit of getting inspiration from your spiritual master. A lot of ISKCON spiritual masters have hundreds of disciples, and they are quite busy, oftentimes with managerial duties. But to contact your spiritual master once every 2 or 3 months, 3 or 4 months, depending on the spiritual master, and getting their input is a very, very important habit. And it's absolutely necessary for our spiritual growth. From where else are we going to get spiritual input? If we're not ready for diksha initiation, cultivate, find spiritual mentors that can help us in our spiritual development. Any questions, comments, or discussion?
There have to be role models also.
To some, at least in that field where you're in which you're going down. For example, she's a chemist, so it should be something that is, just using myself as an example, her using me as a mentee. I hadn't gone to college, so it's not going to really work out because I don't know what she's dealing with in graduate studies in that environment. So it should be something. It should be a mentor. It should be someone who you can relate to in whatever field it may be. That's not necessarily the case for a diksha guru, because a diksha guru is not going to teach you how to mix formula. The diksha guru is going to drag you kicking and screaming back home back to Godhead. That's their pledge to the disciple. So mentor specifically should be someone that we can relate to in whatever field it may be, graduate studies, temple management, whatever it may be, relationships, whatever we're going through in our lives. But for us, we are devotees, so of course, not just a mentor is going to help us achieve our academics, but as devotees, our spiritual life alongside our academic obligations, alongside our relationship obligations, alongside our career obligations, and so on. Both have to be there because we live in a world that is dual, right? We have a material world, we live in a material world, we are spirit beings. Both have to be recognized and understood. That's all. What happens now is from 7 to 7:45, we will have kirtan. After 7:45, kirtan, we will have evening dinner prasadam, vegetarian meal for those of you who are here for the first time. And you're welcome to stay here with us and partake of it.